Thank you for listening to Preaching the Word with Nathan Deitch.
Welcome again to another episode of The Mysteries of God's Word. Today we're in Genesis chapter 15, starting at verse 7. If you remember from last week, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, and the Lord was reaffirming his covenant with Abram. And we pick up in verse 7. And God said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. So if you remember last week, Abram had expressed his doubts and fears about God's plan, even to the point of being accusatory toward God. And here, God declares himself to Abram. God says, I am Yahweh, who has brought you this far already. While Abram had already believed that the one who called him was Yahweh, the creator of heaven and earth, this is the first place God declares his name to Abram. And we see that God's initial call on Abram was while he was still in the land of Ur of the Chaldeans. God says, I'm going to give you this land. You remember last week, God reaffirmed to Abram that a son would come from himself. And now, God assures Abram that he will give him the promised land as well. The land is of great importance, as it is the land from which the Messiah will be born, and the land in which he will be crucified in his first coming. It is also the land in which the Messiah will judge the nations and set up his millennial kingdom in his second coming. This promised land carries an eternal promise with eternal significance. It's not simply occupation of the land by the Israelites. While the Israelites will occupy the land with an earthly kingdom, the promised land is speaking of eternal promises that will come through the Messiah. In verse 8, Abram says, O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it? Abram, still in the vision with God, Abram respectfully questions God here, referring to him as Master Yahweh. In our translation, it says, O Lord God. So he's not accusing God or wavering in his faith, but rather he genuinely wants to have some further insight as to how this is going to take place and would like some assurance of the promise that he can relate to. So God says to him, Bring me a heifer, 3 years old, a female goat, 3 years old, a ram, 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he brought him all of these. He cut them in half and laid each half over against the other, but he didn't cut the birds in half. And when the birds of prey came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. In these verses, we see what is an ancient custom that represented a covenant promise between two people. All parties involved in the covenant would walk between these halves of animals, symbolizing if they were to break the covenant, the same thing that happened to the animals would happen to them. It's significant to note that the animals God asked Abram to bring were considered clean animals, which would later be used in sacrifice under the Mosaic law. Additionally, the livestock that were brought were in the prime of their life. These were choice animals of the herd, and Abraham brought them all. So at this point, Abraham has left the visionary state, and he begins to make plans for getting the animals that God has commanded him to get. And God is simply using this ancient custom that Abraham understood culturally as a solemn oath between two people to give Abram something he can relate to, something he can wrap his head around, so to speak, so that he has the assurance he needs. And we see that Abram was probably waiting there for some time because birds of prey started to come down on the carcasses, and Abram was driving them away, waiting for the Lord. Picking up in verse 12, as the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell on Abram, And behold, dreadful and great darkness fell upon him. Previously, during the day, God communicated to Abram through a vision. Now, Abram is going into a deep sleep. This is something where God is putting Abram to sleep as the sun is beginning to set. Because, first of all, the covenant doesn't require Abram to walk through the animals. Second of all, God is about to give Abram another type of divine revelation. While Abram just had a vision, he's now going to have a dream that will imprint on his mind God's plan for a very long time. And it says that dreadful and great darkness fell upon him. The word for dreadful here is often translated as terror or fear. This is referring to a darkness that is terrifying coming over Abram. You might say Abram was about to have one of the worst kind of nightmares, and it sets the stage for the divine revelation that God is about to show Abram through this dream. In verse 13, we read, "Then the Lord said to Abram, 'Know for certain that your offspring will be sojourners in a land that is not theirs, and they will be servants there, and they will be afflicted for 400 years. But I will bring judgment on the nation that they serve, and afterward they shall come out with great possessions. As for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried in a good old age.'" So God tells Abram here that he needs to know for certain that his offspring will be sojourners and they'll be servants. God begins to reveal the dreadful news to Abram that his immediate offspring will not possess this land, but they'll be temporary residents of another land, and they'll become slaves to those people. God says they'll be afflicted for 400 years. The timing on this 400 years has been confusing to many people. However, the best explanation is perhaps the very straightforward one. It was put forth by Henry Ainsworth, a British theologian. The timeline is also confirmed in James Usher's The Annals of the World. The 400 years of affliction upon Abram's offspring begins with Ishmael, son of Hagar the Egyptian, mocking and persecuting Isaac. And that occurs in Genesis 21:9. We also see reference to it in Galatians 4:29. That event would have come 30 years after the promise God originally made to Abram in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through 3. Scripture teaches that Israel lived in Egypt for 430 years in Exodus 12:40 because it includes those 30 years, including Abram as part of Israel. And it begins the year Abram began to sojourn into Egypt because of a famine that was so bad in the land of Canaan. And Abram was forcibly kicked out of Egypt by Pharaoh. Scripture also tells us that after 430 years to the day, Israel left their affliction under Egypt. And that same year, they were given the law. And we read that in Galatians 3:17 and Exodus 12:41. Now back in Genesis chapter 15, verse 16, God says, "And they shall come back here in the fourth generation, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete." A generation signifies a full revolution of human years, and during different times in history, the amount of time for a generation would be different because of the average lifespan. At the time of the patriarchs, a generation was 100 years. So this is describing the 400 years. And the iniquity of the Amorites not yet being complete, God includes because the Amorites lived in the Promised Land on the west shore of the Dead Sea, and they came from the line of Canaan. However, they separated from the rest of the Canaanites, and they formed their own small nation of people. God was delaying his judgment on the Amorites, which would come about when the Israelites eventually entered the Promised Land. And in verse 17 we read, "When the sun had gone down and it was dark, behold, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between those pieces." Now the smoke and the fire symbolizes the presence of God. Just as the pillar of fire that led the Israelites out of Egypt symbolizes the presence of God. These are manifestations of God in a physical way on earth, known as a theophany. God alone now walks through these pieces of animal to show that it is He who will be faithful to fulfill this covenant with Abraham and his children. And in verse 18, on that day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your offspring I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river of the Euphrates. The land of the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. God is giving specific locations to Abram regarding his eternal covenant. And while these specific people groups and specific area of land will be occupied by the Israelites, his physical descendants, it is about an eternal promise of the Messiah that is going to come through Abraham's line, be crucified for Abraham's people, and set up an eternal kingdom for all who believe, as Abraham, the father of all believers. Join me next week as we learn about Abram's next test of faith as he struggles understanding if Sarai can have the child of promise. God bless you this week.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understandings.